Ruchim abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Shemayt. We'll give ourselves the bracha that as we're beginning Sefer Shemayt, we should be zeichet to learn it in its entirety, gesunta heit, to be able to appreciate the Parshias on an even deeper level. It should bring about added kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh, and we should be able to use Sefer Shemayt to help us in our avodas habayrei. The sponsors for Parsha Insights, Parsha Shemayt, we're grateful it's being said and learned. Lezecha Nishmas Uleilu Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel. Their neshama tahira should have a lichtig Gan Eden. This week is also being sponsored by Reb Yaakov and Judy Azulai. We're very grateful to you for your sponsorship of the shir. It's to commemorate the yahrzeit of Judy's mother, Chava Ruth Bas Albert. The yahrzeit was on the 6th of Tammuz. Yashar koach to you and your mishpacha for the sponsorship of the shir. It's a tremendous, tremendous zechus to be able to say Torah and do a le'ilui then a shama. Once again, keep in mind the name Chava Ruth Bas Albert, whose yahrzeit was the 6th of Teves. Sometimes we don't even get past the first pasuk or the first Rashi. And I feel a little bit badly because there's such a rich parsha to do. But then I tell myself that really, although it's not getting past the first pasuk or the first Rashi, it's the theme of the entire parsha I'd like to show you. So although technically we're not going to get beyond the first Rashi, I think it's really all about the Golos, the Shibud, and subsequently the Geula. The first Rashi in Shemais tells us, the Eile Shemais B'nai Yisrael, these are the names of B'nai Yisrael, says Rashi, look inside. Even though Hashem counted B'nai Yisrael by their names already in their lifetime, he counted them again after their death. To make known how precious the children of Israel, B'nai Yisrael, how precious we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenim Shulachaychovim were compared to stars. And Rashi brings a pasuk and explains, based on the pasuk, how we are compared to stars. There are many pshatim as to why Klal Yisrael is compared to Krechovim. I'd like to share a few of them with you tonight. And perhaps that would really explain, as we said, yeah, you're right, it's the first Rashi, but I think in reality it's the theme of the entire Shibud, the Golos, and the subsequent Geula. Firstly, there's a well-known pshat that we said weeks back in Parshas Lech Lecha, such a powerful pshat from Rav Meir Shapira, the Lublina Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of the Daf HaYomi. When the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avram, at that time Avram Avinu, to go outside and count the stars, the pasuk concludes that Hashem told Avram, Ko yezarecha, so shall your children be. And the simple explanation, or the pasuk pshat, is that Klal Yisrael, like this week's Rashi, were indeed compared to stars, so will your children be like the stars. And as I said a moment ago, we'll give a number of interpretations why we're compared to Krechovim. But Rav Meir Shapiro says, and it's the way we'll begin tonight's shir, there's another way to understand. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Ko yizaracha, so shall your children be, one has to wonder, when Hashem told Avram to count the stars, he attempted to do so. But counting the stars is impossible. Nobody could count the stars. It's simply not a possibility. Yet Avram Avinu tried. In other words, he attempted the impossible. When the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that Avram Avinu attempted the impossible, he said, Koi, that midah, that quality of attempting the impossible, koyi zarecha. That's the trait of your children, entrenched in the DNA of a yid, is this concept of attempting the impossible, even though something seems beyond our grasp, it's not something that we could possibly achieve. But Avraham Avinu attempted by counting the stars, ko yizarecha, that quality of attempting something, putting in the effort, putting in the kaychais, that's who we are. We've really mentioned that similar idea when it comes to the fact that a few weeks after Lech Lecha, Yaakov Avinu's name is changed to Yisrael. And of course, we know the Pasuk tells us why. Ki sarisa im Elokim v'anoshev atuchal. You fought with the angel, with the guardian angel of Esau, v'atuchal, and you won. Our name Yisrael comes etymologically from the word sarisa. But one has to wonder, the point of that pasuk doesn't seem to be that Yaakov fought with the angel. It should be the last word, which is vatuchal. Vatuchal means that you won, you were successful. So why is our name for perpetuity derived from sarisa, hence the name Yisrael? It should be derived from the word vatuchal, the fact that we won. Reb Leiba Leeger says something so powerful. What do you think the definition of winning is? The world at large would tell you that the definition of winning is that a person got the A+, or the 4.5 GPA, or the number one, the gold medal, the top of the class. That's the world's definition of winning. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, he wants Kol Yisrael to know that our definition of winning is, did you try? Did you attempt? Did you persevere? Because if you could answer yes to those few questions I just asked, then you're a winner. That's not the world's definition. The world defines winning by number one, the top of the class, the gold medal, etc. The Ribbono Shel Olam, I hope you hear this pshat well. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to know that our definition of winning is, did you try? Did you at least make the attempt? Did you persevere? Although, as we said earlier from Avraham Avinu, it seemed impossible. Because if you could answer yes that you tried, then you're a winner. That's unsere definition of winning. And that's why our name for perpetuity as B'nai Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael, is derived etymologically from the word sarisa. Because if you could say that you tried and that you attempted, albeit sometimes we mentioned a couple weeks ago we failed, we fall, we get back up, and you know what we then do? We try again. In fact, if you take a look at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, a famous, beautiful pshat of Adam HaRishon names all of the animals because he looked to see the mahus, the essence of the animal, and thereby currently gave it its name. He looked at a chamor, a donkey, and saw that its essence would be chumrius, to carry a load, hence he gave it the name chamor. And of course, we know the Ribbono Shel Olam asked Adam, and what do you want to be called? What name is for you reserved for man? And as we know, the Pasuk says, Adam, why? For we were taken from the Adama, the ground. That's our essence? That epitomizes a Yid's life? We were taken from the ground? The answer is yes, because how is it that one works with the ground? One first starts to plow, and afterwards they plant the seeds, and then they harvest and they prune. There's many, many processes that one does with the ground before they're able to see the beautiful payrice. And after that, what do? They then start again. And they go through the process again. Like we said, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, where we said over the fabulous explanation of why we are more like the shor than the chamor, because the shor doesn't have the benefit right now. The shor works for the future. We work today to benefit for tomorrow. That's mamish what happened when Adam said, call me Adam because our life resembles the ground. You work, you work, you work, you see your pay raise, and then you know what you do? You start again. And after Be'ezus Hashem, you're successful or not, you fail or don't, you keep continuing. Our essence is Adam from the word Adama. Because Adama represents we try, we try, we work, we see the pay raise, and then we'll try again. And that's what Reb Leib Leeger says, the greatest badge of honor is, you are called Yisrael, Sarisa, because if you could attempt, albeit sometimes we fail, but if you could put in the effort and you're willing to persevere, then you're a winner and you've earned the greatest title a Yid could have, the title of being part of B'nai Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. That's why Adam said our name should be Adama. That's why we're called based on the name Yisrael from Sarisa. And that's what Reb Meir Shapiro says, the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avram Avinu, when he saw that he attempted the impossible by counting the stars, he said, Koi, that mida, that quality of attempting the impossible is entrenched and ingrained in our DNA. And we see it till today. Till today we see how in Klal Yisrael you have people always attempting, sometimes failing, sometimes succeeding, but like the Adama, continuing to try again. And that's the first pshat that I take out from Rashi, when Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted us. The idea of counting us and comparing us to stars is to remind us, we also attempt the impossible. We will persevere, we will attempt, we will try, sometimes fail, sometimes succeed, but then Be'ezus Hashem will start again. Perhaps one of the most well-known pshatim why we're compared to a star is from the Detroit Rosh Hashiva, Reb Leib Bakst. Mamish, one of my favorite pshatim. Why are we compared to stars? If you take a look at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, when Kechovim are mentioned as having been created, Rashi says, why were stars created? Why were Kechovim created? Zokt Rashi, the moon was diminished in size. And as a result of being diminished in size, it felt badly. Says Rashi, stars were created for one reason. Lahofiz Daita. Lahofiz Daita means in English, to appease. To appease the moon. The moon may have felt slighted and felt badly, was diminished in size. Kechovim were created for one reason. Lahofiz Daita, to appease the moon. Says Reb Leib Bakst, when you take a look at the beginning of Parsha Shemois, and might I say, like when we started this year, it's not just the opening Rashi of the Parsha. It's the beginning of the Golos. It's the beginning of the Shibud. The seeds are now being planted to bring about not only the Geula from Mitzrayim, but the Geula Shalema. The very first Rashi, as the Golos is beginning, tells us, Hashem counted us yet again because we're compared to stars. Why are we compared to stars? Because like a star, we have a mission. Lahofiz Daita, to appease people, to make them feel better, to be there, to be nice be'olim chaveray, to feel what another person is going through. And just today, Rabbi Avraham Buchsman shared with me a beautiful thought that I'm so grateful that you did share it with me. I never thought of it. I've said this pshat from Reb Leib Bakst countless times. He shared with me so beautifully. They say that's why there's a minhag that Rama brings down. I shouldn't say a minhag that Rama brings down by a chosna and a kala when they're getting married under the chuppah. The chuppah should be tachas, under the stars. So he shared so beautifully that the Svarim tell us, why is it that that the Rama brings down that the Chosin and the Kal are supposed to get married under the stars? For the pshat we just said, the idea of the star is to remind us, Lahavas Daita, be there, appease, care for each other. What better lesson to tell a Chosin and Kala while they're still saying, you could mamish say this over by Sheva Brachas, by an Ufruch, I'm giving you a great dvar to say over. You're getting a mamish, a knakadik, a pshat to say over. What better message is there to give the Chosin and Kala, the Melech and Malka, than to tell them, mamish tachas to chuppah, look, you're under stars. Because the Kechavim remind us, just as the Kechavim were created for one reason, to appease, to be there, to help, to care for, that's why you, Chosin and Kala, are Be'ezus Hashem going to be there, one for each other. You have to be like Kechavim. It's true for a Chosin and Kala. It's true for every person. It brings to mind what we've mentioned in the past, our two psukim that seem to contradict each other. One pasuk says, Matza Isha Matza Taiv. I found my zivug, I found my wife, and it's mamish taiv, it's the best good that there is. And there's another pasuk that says, Umaitza ani es ha'isha marmi maves. I find being married to this person worse than death. Probably not the best pasuk you'd want to say at Sheva Brachos. Yet how do you reconcile these two psukim that seem to contradict each other? We've said many times, because where does the pasuk put the stress? The opening pasuk that speaks about such goodness says, Matzah Isha, I'm interested in what I could do for my wife, what I could do for my spouse, what I could do for another person. When you're interested in behaving like the Chachovim, to appease and to do something for the other, matzah tov, then you got good. But umaitza ani es ha'isha, ani, it's about me and I. When it's about I, and you only care about yourself, the antithesis of kechavim, marmi maves. We commented that if you take a look two generations ago, three generations ago, Bubbies and Zaydis used to make different types of food, but had one tzar hashova. Listen to what the ending of every food item is. Kneid loch, krep loch, raga loch, teg loch. Loch, what can I do for you? Today, what do we eat? Bisli, pre-li. If you're healthy, broccoli. You're not makbar achol yisrael, nes-li. Li, it's for me. My nephew once told me, look, they used to play Kugalach, and today we play Monopoly. It's mamish the loch versus li society. Are you behaving like Kechavim, or are you not? We put a chosna and a kala under the stars to tell them, please remember, it's got to be an existence of Matzah Isha, where each one says, what can I do loch for you? Then it's Matzah Tov. Because Ma'arevi Rabbi Yisrael, it's Li. If it's an existence of only Umaitza Ani, what can I get out of it? Then it's Taka Marmi Mavas. Says Reb Leibach, that's why we're compared to Kechavim. Just as the stars, our job as well, to appease, to care for. We said but a few weeks ago, I'll just remind the Olam, because I've said it a lot, but I find it to be so powerful. Forgive the repetition. We commented that there's a Yerushalmi in Shavuos, Gimel Zion. I'm giving you the Makar if one wants to see it inside. The Yerushalmi says that what did Shaul HaMelech do that he was Zoicha to Malchus? The Yerushalmi says his grandfather was Madlik Neiris Berabim B'mevuos Hafelim. He used to light up candles in the alleyways so people could successfully go from the home to the shul, wherever they needed to go. If something is pitch dark, it's impossible to get somewhere. It could be extremely dangerous. Let's say the words again. He was madlik neiros berabim b'mevuos afelim. He lit up the alleyways by placing light and torches so people could see where they're going, and that's why his grandson Shaul became melech, royalty. My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, used to say, the message of the Yerushalmi could also be understood as, people go through matzavei achayim situations in their life that are mevuos afelim, where they go through what they feel like is a dark, dark alleyway. It could be a crisis that's economic or financial or physical or psychological. We've said many times, everyone you meet is going through something that you know nothing about. People sometimes find themselves in a situation in life where they feel like mevuos afelim. They feel it's dark. They feel it's a dark alleyway. They have nowhere to turn. If you want to tap into royalty, if you want to tap into Malchus, my father suggested there's one way. Be madlik neiros. Light up somebody's life. Light up a torch. Light something up for the person. Be like the chaychovim. Lahof is daita. Make it a loch society, not a lee society. He suggested that every person could tap into Malchus and royalty by following the same formula as Shaul's grandfather. In fact, let's leave the shir when we do shortly and ask ourselves one question. What are we doing each and every day to be madlik neiros berabim b'mevuos afelim? Did you do something today? Oh, we didn't say yet whether you're listening to the shir. I just met somebody 2 nights ago, and he said to me, oh, I listen every week. I get so much chizuk. And you know, I give a one-question test. That's it. You either get 100 or you get a 0. Everybody I meet gets the same question. What's the line that I say in the shir? It's like a Where's Waldo line. And the person successfully said, whether you're listening in the Heichel or listening live, let's say, hey, you got it right. We almost went the whole shir without saying it. Let's ask ourselves whether we're taka here in the Heichel, and I'm seeing the Anoshim Chashuv, the Anoshim Tzidkoni, is everybody here? Nice to see such a large Olam, Kein Yirbu. Whether you're listening now live, or whether you'll hear the recording when Be'ezus Hashem is sent out. What did you do today to be Madlik Neiros Berabim B'mevuos Afelim? When you do that, you behave like Chaychavim. And when you behave like Chaychavim, that's the tamtzis, when we're going into Golos, to remember how critical that bond is. I'd like to suggest perhaps one way to make sure that we retain the quality of being compared to Chaychavim, appease a person, be there for the person, be madlik neiros berabim b'mevuos afelim. Meirei v'rabbi say, this Rashi that we started with, where Rashi says the words, afal pisha monam b'chayeyim b'shmoisam, although he counted them again, lohidia chibosan, to indicate how much he treasures and loves us. If you're familiar, that's very similar to another Rashi, the opening Rashi in Bamidbar. Now, it's interesting, I note, these two Rashis, mamish, not only are the first Rashi of a Parsha, but the first Rashi of an entire Sefer. The one that the Shir has been based on until now has been the opening Rashi of the entire Sefer Shemois. And the Rashi I'm about to quote is the opening Rashi of the entire Sefer Bamidbar. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, took a census of us. And Rashi says words that are almost identical. Mitoichi basan, because Hashem cherishes and loves us so much, Maina oisam kol sha'a, he counts us kol sha'a, every hour. Now, does Rashi mean that literally? Does Mashi mean literally that Hashem counts us kol sha'a? And how do you understand kol sha'a? Every hour, every minute, every second, every moment? What does kol sha'a mean? Rabbi Yecheskel Mikuzmir says a pshat that's mamish spectacular. Listen to what kol sha'a refers to. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, don't be scornful of anybody. Don't be disdainful towards any person. Zokta Mishnah Pirkei Avos, She'ein lecha adam, she'ein lo sha'a. There's no person that doesn't have their sha'a. Now in that context over there, that Mishnah that I just quoted to you in Pirkei Avos, what does the word sha'a mean there? We'll repeat it again. Al tivaz lechol adam, don't be scornful towards any person. She'ein lecha adam, she'ein lo sha'a. For everyone has their sha'a. How do you define the word sha'a there? Their hour? There the word sha'a means, in that Mishnah Pirkei Avos, sha'a means their shining moment. A shining quality. A moment where they truly sparkle. The sha'a refers to the moment or moments that a person has in their life where they shine and they sparkle. So the mission of us is teaching us, treat everybody with respect. She'ein lecha adam, she'ein le sha'a. Everyone has their defining moment, their qualitative moment, and for some it may be many such moments. That's the way Rabbi Yecheskel Kuzmir translates Arashi. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us so much here in Bamidbar. Mitoich Chibason Lefanav. Maina Oysam Kol Sha'a. Do you know when he counts the Jew? He counts the Yid when we achieve our defining moment. You know, there used to be, I think it was like the Polaroid camera that took the picture, and then that piece of hard paper came out. I hope I'm quoting the correct camera. I'm not even the oldest person in the room. But I literally think of that when I say this Rashi in Bamidbar. A Yid has many highs and unfortunately many lows. There are moments where we shine and moments that aren't. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us so much. When does he count us? What is the picture that he takes of us? Kol sha'a. Every time we have our moment, every time we have that glorious, defining moment, where we do, where we attempt, where we persevere, where we strive, whenever we have those sha'ais, those moments, Zokta Ribbono Shel Olam, that's who you are. That's the Polaroid picture I take of you. That's the image I have. I know that we make mistakes. Ain tzadik baruta she'yaseh tov v'lo yechteh. Hence the day of Yom Kippur and the mitzvah of tshuva. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has such an intense love for us that the moments that we achieve our defining glorious, we accomplish something spectacular, and it could be in the realm of attempting the impossible, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the picture I take of you. That's the image I have of you. That's when I count you. And I think, going back to our Rashi, that's the secret to treating each other like Kechavim in an interpersonal sense. To tie the two Rashis together, the opening of Sefer Shemais with the opening of Bamidbar, I'd like to suggest maybe the secret of how we could treat each other like Kechavim is to remind ourselves. We say it, how could one say it better? The Elimelech Milazentz says in the famous comment, Shenire kol echad, malas chavereinu v'loi chasreinam. Look for a person's milas. Look for their sha'is. Look for how they seem to be trying. Don't focus on their chasreinus and their faults. Maybe the secret to being a relationship of successful kechavim is to look at each other kol sha'a. Sure, another person has a fault. Sure, another person may have more chesroinus. You don't focus on them. That's not the image you have of them. That's not what is the Polaroid picture that you have of that person. It should be their maila, not their chisaroi. It should be their sha'is. The way to successfully being like a star, achieving the relationship of Chechavim is remembering, I have the image of a person, kol sha'a. The Ribbono Shel Olam does it for us, and don't Chazal tell us, mahu afata, just as he is, we must be as well? We emulate the ways of Hashem? Here's a challenge, Rabbi Yisai. The same way the Ribbono Shel Olam counts us when we achieve our sha'is, that's the way we should treat our spouse, our sibling, our friend, a fellow yid. Hashem does it, it's the way we should as well. I just want to be Messiah. I know I said it this past Shabbos. I've said it many times. We'll say it quickly, a pshat in the Pardes Yosef. I think it's the most appropriate way to conclude the shir. Because it gives us something to yearn, to strive, and to do. Very bekitzer, we said on Shabbos, Kodesh of the Pardes Yosef. At the end of Vayechi, when the Pasuk speaks about Yosef dying, Chazal tell us it's a Gemara in two places, Yosef, before he died, buried three treasures. The first treasure was found by Kairach, the second treasure by Rebbe and Antoninus, and the third treasure has yet to be found. The Pardes Yosef says allegorically, there's a way to explain the words that I just said from the Gemara. Three treasures were buried by Yosef, the first found by Kairach, the second by Rebbe and Antoninus, and the third has yet to be found. So says the Pardes Yosef. The first treasure that Yosef buried was the ideal and the concept that if it's something you're destined for and Hashem is going to give you, no one or any situation could change that. Yosef was mamish living proof. He had a dream that he would rule over his brothers, and that's what happened. They threw him in a pit. They plotted against him. They wanted to kill him. They tried to sell him. They did sell him. But if it's destined to happen, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says it will be, nothing can possibly change that. That treasure, that ideal, Yosef buried, and it was found by Kairach. Because Kairach felt with the political power he had, the people who aligned themselves with him, tremendous wealth, the wealth of Yosef, that he could take over the power from his cousin, from Aaron Kohen Gadol. And of course we know that didn't happen because it can't happen. If it was destined for Aaron and we do our ishtagos, we do our part, nothing is going to change that destiny. Like Yosef, so too by Aaron. And that treasure was found by Kairach in the sense that he realized, try as hard as he might, if it was destined to be that the leader was going to be Aaron, nothing would change that, like nothing changed it by Yosef. The second treasure Yosef buried was the ideal a person could live amongst the other nations of the world, but they still rise up to behave the way the Yid is properly supposed to behave. One never compromises on their principles. One never should water down their belief of Torah values, Chalila. You think to ingratiate yourself with the neighbor, with the nations of the world, that's the way we'll be successful, Chalila. Yosef was in a land of Shtufei Zima, the most immoral society. Yet Yosef remained the Tzofnas Paneach, revered and respected. Yosef was somebody who was on such an exceedingly high level of purity and of righteousness. And the Mitzriim understood that, hence Tzofnas Paneach. that treasure was found by Rebbe and Antoninus. Rebbe and Antoninus had a tremendous relationship, yet Rebbe was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Never, never, Chalila, watering down a principle or compromising on a belief. And Antoninus had respected Rebbe. There was a proper relationship, and yet Rebbe remained like Yosef HaTzadik. Merev Rabbeisai, the third treasure that Yosef buried was the love that there was between the Shvatim at the end. Although it began where there was sinna from the Shvatim towards Yosef, but it ended up by Yehi Bishur HaMelech B'Sasef Rosh Hayom Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, with an extraordinary chiba, an extraordinary ava, and tremendous love amongst the Shvatim. That was the third treasure that Yosef went ahead and he buried. That although there was the sinna, it became deep, deep, deep ava, shalom, and reyos of Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. That treasure has not been found yet. That treasure hasn't been found yet. May we be zoich as we've been. We begin the journey of Shemais into Golos, into Shibud Mitzrayim, to find that third treasure. To find the third treasure of behaving like Rechavim. To find the third treasure by remembering Hashem treats us kol sha'a. That's the way we interact with people. We have to find that third treasure. We will attempt, and we will continue to try. That is our name, Yisrael. And just as the end of the Shibud and the Golos of Mitzrayim was a Geula, may we be zeiche to find that third and final treasure to bring about our Geula Shalema, Bimheira, B'Yameinu, Amen.